Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Iron Brew podcast. As you can probably tell, I'm not Brad Mell, but I'm just stepping in for Brad for this one. Thought we'd get a quick one out there after the events at York on Tuesday night. Yeah, it's looking a little bit bleak at the moment, isn't it? I think that we really, really needed to win the game at York, and I think pretty much every result that could have gone against us on Tuesday night went against us, and we are now in a pretty dire situation, really. And I think that, you know, we're very, very close to exiting this division, unfortunately. And, you know, we didn't get the 3 points at York. I think that by and large, from what I see, the performance was okay. I think we were unlucky not to win. I think their keeper obviously made a couple of really, really good saves. But at the end of the day, it's another game we've not scored. We've not won. And obviously, I know you went to the game, Matt. So, you know, what did you think?
Yeah, I think the first half we did okay, especially towards the end of the first half. I think we had a few really good chances. Wilson. At the time, I was a little bit disappointed with the finish. However, I think the keeper made a really good save watching it back. You know, it kind of opened up for him and he's put it down into the corner. And unfortunately, the keeper's made a really good save. And he did make a string of good saves in that first half. That's probably, he's got them the point, because I do think on the balance of the chances created, we did deserve to win. But ultimately, you know, we didn't take the chances. Bennett's missed a couple and I think Butterfield's had one as well. So, you know, we had the chances there to win the game. However, the second half for me was the most disappointing aspect of it, to be honest, because obviously the fans could see the results coming through. As you say, the majority of the results, well, pretty much all the results were going against us. And there just seemed to be a lack of, you know, urgency. Not just, I know Bilson's got a bit of stick for it, but I just think from the whole team, really. And I think, you know, there came a point in the game where he had to go for it and he didn't. And that was the most disappointing thing. I know he will argue he brought Elliot on, but I think he spent most of his time out wide and actually playing quite deep in that second half. And I think, you know, it came to sort of 60 minutes on the clock. We weren't really doing much in that second half, in that opening period of the second half. And he just had to go for it and change it and freshen it up a little bit and just see if we could get something out of it. Because you're not telling me that those on the bench, you know, there's enough of them on the bench. None of them are checking the scores from around the division in such a crucial game, because, you know, we knew we had to win anyway. I think it was pretty obvious. But given the results that were going against us, we just had to win to stay in touch. And the lack of urgency and just the lack of changes, especially towards the end of the game, it just seemed really odd. I've never seen anything like it. You know, we've seen teams in the past, even when, you know, they're not in as dire a situation as ours, but they're just chasing the game, they're trying to get a point or whatever it is, or trying to get the win. And they're throwing it. I mean, generally, it's when teams are behind, fair enough, but, you know, they throw everything at it. They go two up front if they're not already two up front. You know, they just try everything to get the win. And I just don't feel we did. And you know, I was absolutely fuming after the game, I'll be honest. And I think that was the case with a lot of the fans in the away end, because I think the players got a lot of stick. And, you know, I think the effort was there to an extent. You know, we can't really say that they weren't trying, but I think it was just the whole, you know, from the bench, just nothing, no urgency. And ultimately, it's probably sealed our fate.
Yeah, I find it incredibly strange as well, actually, and seeing a lot of comments on Twitter around the fact that we were looking like we were actually time wasting or we kind of settled for the point. And I think it's, where is this kind of mentality coming from? Because I've seen tweets from some of the current squad on Twitter that basically say, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 cup finals left. So they know that they need to win every game, essentially. So they need to get something from every game. And a nil-nil draw against York, you know, if this was 6 months ago, that's an all right result. But when we've only got, like, what, 6 games left, 6 or 7 games left, you know, well, we are in the league, we need to win every single game, and we need to be throwing the kitchen sink at it to do that. And I think the time wasting and the lack of urgency, at this point, towards the end of the game, if you're not winning and you know, you're drawing, you throw everything at it, don't you? You put three strikers on, you stick your centre back up front, you know, whatever the hell you need to do, you do that, whatever it takes. You know, it's high press for 90 minutes. It's whatever it is, but that urgency is not there for some reason, and I don't understand it. And it was a similar issue against Maidstone United when, you know, we were drawing. Obviously, we drew the game or whatever. There was like 10, 15 minutes to go. We looked like we were on top, but there was no urgency. We seemed to be happy to settle for the point again. And I'm really concerned, actually, because, like, what is Jimmy thinking? Like, you know, we have to win the game. It's as simple as that. We don't win it. If we had lost, I think, against York, we essentially would be, you know, relegated, wouldn't we, really? I think the point kind of just keeps us in touch enough to say that we're not down yet. However, we could basically be finished off against Torquay on Saturday. But and that's it. And that's the concern. And it's just that basic level of awareness. You know, did we really go to York for a point? Surely not. Like, but we did. It looks like we did, and we looked to settle for it. So it's incredibly, incredibly disappointing. And I don't know what Jimmy thinks is coming over the horizon. If you know, it's like we've got another 20 games left. That's what the lack of urgency looks like. But we don't. We don't have that. We need to win every single game we play. so it's incredibly concerning, and rightly so. A lot of Scunthorpe fans, you know, on Twitter, were really, really annoyed, upset by that. And it's completely understandable, you know. And I think I tweeted something out saying something like, does Jimmy think that, you know, it's 3 points for a draw in this league or something like that? Because that's the way we approached it. So, you know, it's incredibly disappointing, really. And you know, moving on to the Torquay game, I want to say it's a must win, but every game's a must win. And I even think, to be honest, if we win, we could still look, you know, it's not going to look any better, is it? Just because of the gap that's opening up at the minute. And again, another kind of match day with good results for the opposition. You know, it's not looking good at all, is it? Just looking at the table, look, we're second bottom now, we're six adrift, but obviously the goal difference essentially makes us 7 points adrift. It seems to be picking up for Gateshead. They've had a couple of wins in a row. Their goal difference is obviously only -7. And they've obviously got two games in hand on us and one game in hand on Yeovil as well. So, you know, realistically, it is looking incredibly bleak at the moment.
Yeah, it is. As you say, those teams are picking up points. Dorking as well, they've picked up a couple of wins and they seem to have pulled themselves out of it. I mean, they were really the one we were looking at, hoping. I think it came down to that last game of the season. We could go there and get something and maybe drag them into it. But yeah, unfortunately, I mean, we had a period where the teams around us were all losing and we didn't take advantage of that. You know, I'm thinking back to that Maidstone game. You know, results were going for us around that time. And as you say, we just didn't do enough to win those games. And yeah, it's come back to haunt us, really. But I think with sort of the time wasting and the things like that, I've seen quite a lot of people criticising Bilson for that. And, you know, towards the end of the game, he seemed to be taking his time over everything. But I do think it probably has clouded some fans' judgment a little bit because of that. You know, he was getting quite a lot of stick. I do think he played really well. I think he was good in the air. You know, he was coming for crosses. His handling was really good. And I do think, you know, his kicking wasn't great. It was an improvement on Notts County, you know, not difficult, but it was an improvement. And, you know, I think he was probably up there with the choices for man of the match. I think the whole defence did okay. I think the fullbacks did well. I think Leek had a really good game. Considering Notts County, you know, I think he was he had a really difficult afternoon. So, I think he, you know, he came out and played really well. So that, fair play to him for that. But yeah, I think Bilson was getting quite a lot of stick. Probably wasn't justified on the back of the performance. However, you know, he was the one that seemed to be taking the most time. But you know, I looked over to the bench quite a few times as this was happening, and there was no, you know, urgency from the bench. There was no sort of direction from the bench to get it upfield and launch it. And unfortunately, you know, we only really had the one chance in the second half with Bennett, and he has to score, really. I mean, it was a really, really poor effort. It was a great ball through to him, And you know, he's done the right thing. I think he's made a good run. He's made himself, you know, there's a bit of space. It's opened up for him. But again, as we've seen on quite a few occasions, he's snatched at it. And the most disappointing thing, really, with Bennett, I think, you know, with Pugh, you can maybe kind of cut him a bit of slack with those two he missed because, you know, he's not a striker. It's you could maybe understand him kind of snatching at it. But Bennett, you know, he's got to be scoring that. And he had one in the first half where he was stretching for it. But I think, you know, he probably should have scored that one as well. And if those two go in, then we're still in touch and we're still in the mix. But I think, unfortunately, you know, given the results elsewhere, that probably does finish us off. And that's the most disappointing thing. The second half performance really, you know, it's kind of just killed us off. And yeah, for me, it was unforgivable, really, that the way we approached it, given what was happening elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredibly disappointing. I think really kind of just sums up the season, doesn't it, really? So yeah, I was, it's incredibly unfortunate. And I think, you know, realistically, it's not looking positive now, is it? I think that it will probably dawn on us on Saturday at about 5 o'clock. And I think it will start to feel a little bit more real that we've probably dropped another division, and you know, we're looking at an absolute miracle really now to get us out of this, and it's just not happening really. And it's a disappointment really. And I guess what do we look at really? Because I think I've seen a lot of kind of talk on Twitter about you know, did we think that obviously when Hilton came in and obviously Jimmy came in, that at that point we were already relegated? But I don't think we did really. I think that we had more than enough games to be able to turn it around. You don't get me wrong, it was still a big ask at that point, but we still had plenty of time to turn it around, really. So I guess you've got to look to the signings really, haven't you? And it's been a bit of a mess, to be honest. We've had people coming in, and then within that short time we've had people going out and then being replaced. Obviously, you know, one that comes to mind is obviously McDonough, and then being replaced by Bennett, who is, you know, he doesn't even look like a football player, does he? And I think that I didn't see it myself, obviously, but I think that there was a lot of talk of him kind of laughing at the fans at the final whistle, which is not what you want. So yeah, and obviously McDonough, I honestly thought he was okay. I know you thought he was a donkey mat, but I think he wasn't that bad. And he scored, he took his goal well. You know, and I thought he would have been okay. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for whatever reason. I don't think Jimmy liked him, or he didn't think he was the player he wanted. But then he brought Bennett in, apparently Bennett is the player he wants. And he said, Jimmy said something like he was the mold of striker that he's been looking for since he came into the club. And unfortunately, if that's the kind of player he's looking for, then we're in real trouble, because the guy, you know, as I said, he wouldn't look out of place at McDonald's, unfortunately. So it's incredibly disappointing. And as you said, you know, he should have scored really. I guess he was unlucky to score with the header, because it was a great save from their keeper. But that one-on-one, and the fact that he's not even hit the target, is just not acceptable, really. And again, it's that goes in, it's 3 points, isn't it? And the same as you said with the Pugh one, if that goes in, that's 3 points, and we're in a different situation. But you know, it's not just two moments that have defined the season. We've been awful for you know, 40 games, haven't we? So you know, we I don't know how much we can put on that, but look, the signings. You know, obviously Bennett hasn't worked. You know, maybe two or three of the signings have been really effective. Obviously Bunker was great. He's gone back and he's been playing first team for Forest Green, and he was an excellent player. I thought he was really, really good. Obviously we couldn't keep him, which is disappointing. And I think I've been pretty happy with Chapman as well. Unfortunately he's out for the season. It doesn't help. And obviously, you know, Smith's been, it's been a bit wobbly the last two games. I mean, maybe, you know, against Notts County, the whole team was just disgraceful. But I think, you know, he's been good. And obviously, we extended his loan to the end of the season. And I think that he, you know, I still think he's a good player. And obviously, Richard Everton as well has been really good. So I think that we have made some good signings. But I think it's just the volume of players we've brought in, and then the players we've brought in to replace the players we've brought in, which obviously hasn't really helped, has it? You know, and I think we probably spoke about this maybe on the last podcast, but obviously I know Pugh was injured at the minute, but kind of Pugh and Shrimpton were doing pretty well in the middle of the park. And then we decided to change it and bring in obviously Thompson on loan for Derby, and Rance from Dagenham and Redbridge, really. And was there any real need for that, do you think?
From what I've seen so far, no. I do think, I was thinking it the other night watching the game, and I was just thinking, could, we're watching Thompson and Rant. If Pugh and Shrimpton were in there on Tuesday night, would we be any worse off? And I think the answer is no. I think actually we'd be better off because they care about the club. I'm not saying Rance doesn't, he's obviously come on a permanent. But I do think it goes back to the lack of urgency again. I do think that could partly be down to the fact we've got quite a few loan players in there that really don't care. I mean, they probably do to an extent, but they don't, they're, it's not their permanent contract on the line here. It's not their future on the line. Because they're going to go back to the parent club anyway, regardless if we go into the National League North. And I do think, that could be one of the issues. And I think if you'd have had Pugh in there, Shrimpton in there, I mean, Jimmy's already kind of mentioned it in the past few weeks that, those two, they really care about the club. They'll run through brick walls for the club. And, I think it, at this moment in time where we are, that's probably what you need in there. And I'm not sure on Thompson. I've seen some fans saying he's awful. I've seen some fans saying he's the best player on the pitch. I'm not sure what to make of him, to be honest. My uncle, my uncle goes to watch Derby, and he said he pretty much summed it up how he would be. He runs about quite a lot. He doesn't really do a lot in terms of influencing the game, or he hasn't so far. Appreciate that one of the games was against Notts County, very difficult for any of the players to have an influence when we didn't have the ball. However, I'm not sold on that one, to be honest. He may be a good player in time. He's obviously played Championship football, so he's obviously got something about him. But at this stage, I'm just not sure whether he's the right man in there. And again, I mean, it's not. I know Pugh was injured and he's come out, but Jimmy was saying how good Shrimpton's been of late. The one performance against Notts County, everyone had a bad game. Bad day at Notts County. Then he's out of the side for the two new signings. So I just think that's a little bit odd, to be honest. And it's probably the turnover of players, as you say, it's probably been too much. I think it's been far too much, and we may have been better off just signing, a few and trying going along that way. But I do think the one that's most confusing out of them all is Elliot, because he's obviously scored goals. He scored goals at this level. He scored goals at the level below. Obviously, quite prolific at the level below. We've paid money for him. We've paid a fee, a decent fee as well, rumored to be about 50 grand. So it's not, not cheap. And okay, he's played a couple of games when he first came in, but he's found himself on the bench of late. And then when he's come on, all right, Notts County, he did come on sort of up front, but it was pointless. And then he comes on in the game where we really need a goal, and he's playing on the wing. He's playing out of position. He's not going to score goals when he's out there. And he's not. He's a striker at the end of the day. He's proven he can score goals. He probably needs a goal just to get a bit of confidence back, because I think he has snatched at a couple when he has been in front of goal. But I think there's enough there to suggest he could be a player. I think he's actually got something about him, and he's frozen out. So that for me, that's the one that's most confusing, really. And I'd like to see him get a bit of game time from the start to see what he can do.
Yeah, I agree. I think I actually read something on Twitter about Elliot. Don't quote me on this, but somebody said, and I think it's come from the York commentary for the game on Tuesday night, that apparently in the past five games that Elliot's played against York, obviously York came up last season, didn't they? So he played against them last season, and he scored four goals in five appearances. And they thought, why is this guy on the bench? He obviously knows how to score against us, and he's on the bench. What is going on? And yeah, I agree. I think he looks good. Like what I've seen with him, he looks good. And obviously, we've only seen kind of fleeting performances, just because that Jimmy seems to prefer a big man up top. And when he's played Elliot, he's kind of played him as a big man up top. And obviously, that's not the type of striker he is. He looks really mobile. He looks keen to make good runs in behind and things like that. He looks relatively good with his feet. So we're not using him in the right way. And I realize obviously we probably signed him knowing that there's a big chance that we're going to go down, and he's going to be an asset next season, and he absolutely will be. For a slightly positive spin on it, at least we have a striker, assuming he does decide to stay next season. I know his contract suggests that he would, but who can score goals in the National League North? So that's obviously a positive. But again, I think you're right. I think he just needs to get that one goal. But look, really, look, Bennett, dreadful. Let's just try and play a formation that plays to Elliot's strengths, because we know we've got a goal scorer, and just let him play, let him start for the rest, every game for the rest of the season. At least he's got a good amount of match time going into a season where, you know, next season he's going to be a really big asset, and we're going to need him. So that's what I would like to see. I know we won't get it, but you know, there you are.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And I think, yeah, he's proven he can score goals at the level below. I don't know the length of his contract. I don't know if they announced it or not, but given the paid a fee, you'd think he'll be here till, you know, for next season as well. I can't remember.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
Yeah, you would imagine so. So, you know, as you say, that is a plus. But at the moment, I mean, if Jimmy's not using him now, it just seems odd. I just can't weigh that one up, to be honest, because he's the only one. I know Bennett scored, what has he scored, one or two? But Elliot was in form. He'd scored goals for Gateshead this season. So he can do it at this level as well. We've seen that. But I just don't think we're using him correctly. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what more to say on that, really. It's going to be interesting, because I do think he did have other offers, didn't he, at National League level, I believe.
Yeah. I actually think York were in for him.
Yeah.
So they must have been pissing themselves when they realised he was on the bench.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? But...
And then, I mean, that's going to be interesting as well. Obviously, we must have offered more money, because I think he was basically, they suggested he was nailed on to go to York, and then all of a sudden he turned up here. So, you know, if we go down, it's going to be interesting. Will any clubs come in for him? Because obviously he's got admirers at National League level. And if he's not playing for us, then I don't think he's nailed on that he'll be here next season if someone comes in with the money. So, yeah, maybe one to watch, that one. It just sums it up at the moment, I think. And too many players that have been brought in, they've not really gelled, you would say. I think the defence has been okay. I think the two defenders, probably the pick of the bunch, really, from the players that are still here. And again, you know, Smith, I think there's no chance. Yeah, he'll be going back to Harrogate, probably be playing at least National League, probably League Two. You know, the injuries he's had has maybe set him back a little bit, but I think he will be back playing in League Two. I think he's good enough to do that from what I've seen. And obviously, Richards Everton is only till the end of the season. Will he want to play in the National League North? Who knows? You know,
hopefully. I mean...
Yeah, but it's unlikely. It's unlikely, and I think it's unlikely that I know we had a question sent in, didn't we, about who's under contract. You know, I don't think there's many of them really. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if there's clauses in place that let them go for free if we do get relegated, which is looking likely.
Yeah.
So even though there may be a contract on the table, not necessarily if there's clauses, they may not be here. Yeah, I think some of the young lads are under contract. I think Foster's under contract, and definitely Harry Lewis. Not sure on the rest, to be honest. so we'll have to wait and see. But it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I think 14 players in since January. There's probably going to be even more coming in the summer. I think the revolving door's going to be well and truly open.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one, isn't it? I think if, you know, obviously when we go down, it's going to be a lot of change. Isn't there? So it'll be an interesting summer. And again, you know, it's going to be a bit of a culture shock, because we're going to be bringing in a lot of players that none of us will have ever heard of, really, because we've dropped down a division again. So it's incredibly bleak, isn't it, being a Scunthorpe fan at the minute? And it has been for a long time, so it's not going to get any better. But, you know, it's like, can we drop down and then bounce straight back up? And, I know you are really not looking forward to next season. And I think that it's going to be probably more difficult than we think to bounce back, because again, I think only one goes up automatically. And look at, I think it's Stockport. They stayed down there for quite a while, didn't they? So it's going to be an eye opener, I suppose. But yeah, cool. So you know, I think let's move on to our next topic, and that is to do with our new chairman. And I think that there's been a little bit of unrest on social media over the past few weeks or so, and I think a few questions have been asked. And
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And one specifically that I think we probably do need to talk about now is the purchase of the ground and the surrounding land around Glanford Park. And I think that that's obviously part of the agreement that Mr. Hillen had with Peter Swan when he took ownership of the club. And obviously that's, as far as we're aware, that the bill for the ground and the land has not yet been paid. It's not been settled. I think Hilton came on Twitter and answered somebody's question directly and said that at the moment it's with the lawyers or with his lawyers. And we know that the approaching date for that, or the deadline, or the date that Hilton has mentioned on Twitter is the 24th of May for that deal to be completed. Obviously for the ground and the surrounding land to be transferred back to the club from obviously Peter Swan's company, which is Coolsilk, and we're still kind of waiting for that. But there's been some concern, I suppose, around that. Obviously, it's not going to be something that's going to be transferred for £3 as the initial ownership of the club was, and we are led to believe that obviously the asking price, or the price agreed as part of the deal, was north of £1 million, so probably quite a lot more actually. So it's we're waiting for this to happen, and I understand that there's some anxiety around this. Is it going to happen? Obviously there's been a lot of investment poured into the club in terms of the playing staff over Hilton's tenure so far, so that would suggest that he sort of has some money to complete it, and obviously the HMRC bill and other things were paid off and things like that, as he promised he was going to do. So obviously that's all good, but we're still waiting for this, and this is the big one really, and I guess this is the sticking point, because if this, for whatever reason, doesn't get completed, we are again in another precarious position, really, where the future of the club is under question again, unfortunately. But there's no way to get around that, really. So, how do you kind of gauge the situation, Matt?
To be honest, I don't think we can say too much. Hilton came out, he's been very open on Twitter about that. He said it was going to be completed by, as you say, the 24th of May. So until that date, we don't really know what's going on. He said that it's with his lawyers. We know these things take time. We can appreciate that any sort of property land deal takes a while to complete, and especially one that's the value of several million pounds. We don't know the exact figure, but we know roughly what Swan was looking for the whole site. As far as we know, given what Hilton has said on Twitter, we know that's not completed yet. I think there is going to be some sort of anxiety there from the fans, given I think the vast majority wanted Swan to go. But as yet, as it stands today, as far as we're aware, he's still in the background, because he still owns the land, stadium and those two and the training ground. So until that deal's complete, I think there is going to be some anxiety, because he's still in the picture, and everyone wanted him out, and that's where we are. I do think it would be nice for some kind of fans forum. I think I said that when he came in, because as yet, you know, I know he's done a couple of interviews. I think he had one when he first came in, and then he did the second one about the membership scheme, the 1899. But we've not really heard much about his plans for the club. That's the thing that I think most people would like to hear about. You know, where does he see the club going? You know, if we do go down, what's the plan for next season? He has confirmed, I think, on Twitter again that we wouldn't be going part-time. He said we would never go part-time, I think. So, you know, that's an interesting one. It's quite a bold statement as well, given, you know, financially it's going to be difficult to run the club at that level. Being full-time, there's not many clubs that have done that. I think York were one, but the vast majority of clubs are part-time. So that's going to be interesting. And then there's various other things that I would like to hear about. You know, there's the non-league contract scenario at the moment. I think I just can't see how that's going to go through. I think the PFA will step in and that will probably be scrapped. But it would be nice to hear the club's sort of stance on those proposals, because I know quite a number of other clubs have come out and said that they'll continue to pay the players as normal. You know, if they get injured, they'll still be on the same wages. And I think that's what, as a fan, that's what I would like to hear from the club at the moment, because I do think it's just the right thing to do. So there's various things like that it'd be interesting to hear about. I know we mentioned plans for some kind of training facility. Where are we with that? And the academy as well. I'm not sure whether the funding runs out at the end of the season. I've heard various sort of rumours on that. Nothing confirmed whether it runs out this season or next season. But again, I think it's a big one for fans. You know, what's going to happen with the academy? Is it just going to be a couple of teams? You know, like some of the other clubs, I think Huddersfield and various other clubs run with that kind of model where they've only got sort of the 16s and 18s rather than teams throughout the age groups. So yeah, I think for me, it's really be nice to hear his plans, and it would be nice for some kind of open forum, because I think obviously on Twitter, he's been getting a little bit of stick, and I don't actually think the majority of it is from Scunthorpe fans. I think he's even said himself, you know, he believes it's Bury fans that have been giving him some stick on there. Yeah. And obviously now he's removed his account. So
yeah, that he no longer has a Twitter account, does he? It's been deleted
That line of kind of communication has gone.
And good for real, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a place really on Twitter for chairman. I really don't. I think there's, you know, in this day and age, I think that much scrutiny, especially of a club our size. I'm not saying we're absolutely, you know, I'm not saying we're a big club, but I think there's enough interest there from fans. And I think ultimately, if he's on social media and things aren't going well, people are going to be asking questions and giving him a bit of stick, just as they would if Swan was on Twitter. You know, and that's probably one of the reasons Swan was never on Twitter, because, you know, you only have to look at what happened with Chris, his son. You know, he was hounded on there, and, you know, I think he kind of went underground on there. And although his account's still there, I think he's posted for a couple of years. So, yeah, he's not a good place for sort of owners, chairman to be anyway. But I do think it's probably time, you know, maybe not now, but in the next few months, especially in the closed season, I think it would be time really for sort of a fans forum and to really hear his plans, because, you know, the May date is a big one. He said he's going to meet that date. So, you know, we can only go on that. And you know, there's no reason to believe he wouldn't be able to meet that date from what he said so far. So it's a big couple of months in that regard, because I think the main thing is the fans want rid of Swan. And at the moment, as it stands, he's still there in the background.
Yeah, I, you know, I agree. I think that we do need some sort of clarification on the kind of direction and the plans so that for the future of the club, really. I know when obviously Hilton came in, he did an interview with Radio Humberside, and they asked him about his sort of business plans, what the kind of developments will be like that he's gonna bring forward for the club, and things like that. And he said obviously he didn't want to comment at that point because it was very early, which is absolutely fair enough. But he's been here for a little bit of time now, and I think that it's probably right that he does come out and communicates to the fan base, you know, what he's going to do, you know, what these developments are going to be like, you know, as you said, kind of what the plans are for next season. He's been asked if he's got a plan for next season if we go down, and that was sort of early on in his tenure, and I think it does now look like, unfortunately, we will be going down. So though that communication needs to come out really and say, well, yeah, actually, you know, we tried to stay up. We invested in the playing squad, which he absolutely has, and nobody can kind of fault him for that. Obviously, some of the signings have been incredibly questionable, but the intent to kind of try and stay up was absolutely there, and nobody can really question that. So that's obviously been positive. After a time, we went through under transfer embargo and things like that. So it's kind of good to see. Obviously, been good to see that it's not worked out, unfortunately. But I think that I think he does need to come out now and say, you know, it's obviously, I know he's not going to come out now because we're not confirmed relegated, but it's not looking good. But it would be good at some point to come out and say, you know, these are the plans. We have a plan B for next season. You know, if we're going to be in National League North, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're definitely not going part-time. I know he said that, but just a little bit of clarification around how that's actually going to work, because obviously the drop in kind of revenue, the drop in budgets and things like that. So that's all got to be considered and got to be communicated. And I really think we need to know what the developments are going to be like, because obviously he's going to have to use the land when he's acquired it to do something with it. So it'll be interesting to see what we can do and what he plans to do with that and things like that. And yeah, absolutely. Academies is another one. I've had a few messages for people asking kind of what's going on with the academy, that they're concerned that it's going to be scrapped. But obviously it's a big asset for the club. And look, it's produced players who are now in the first team and have kind of performed well in the first team. So we ideally we'd like to hold on to that asset, but you know, again, how viable is that for a club in the National League North? So you know, there's a lot of stuff up in the air, but I really do think that we need kind of that clarity now, that those plans and his kind of vision for the future of the club really is something that will probably help to kind of calm a few people down and kind of help to level out some of the anxiety around that. Because for me, from where we sit and from where most fans sit, you know, it looks like we're in a relatively precarious situation, really, without the securement of the ground and the land, our future. It looks like we're going to get relegated. You know, how is that going to work? How are we going to afford to run a club full time? You know, in at a regional football level. So, you know, all these things are very much up in the air. And as you said, Matt, after he's recently deleted his social media accounts, so that kind of avenue for communications been removed at the moment. And I think I agree, really. I think it's good that he's probably deleted his Twitter account. I don't think it's the best thing, honestly, to see kind of the chairman, you know, maybe going through that channel to answer questions. It obviously more official channels would be good, or at least, you know, maybe a statement on the website or something like that would probably be the best way to move forward. At least it you know, it's a little bit more professional, I suppose. But anyway, you know, moving forward, I think we've got a little bit of news, haven't we? We've got a few questions to go through from you guys who have sent questions in through Twitter. So we'll do that last, but we'll go through the news next. And obviously, Gyro's now left the club. He put a nice little message to kind of Iron fans and everybody on Twitter as he left. And, you know, he's obviously not really been in the manager's plans or, you know, in the first team for a while now, hasn't he? Which is, I suppose, unfortunate, because I thought he was always a relatively capable defender and he seems like a nice guy as well. So, you know, what did you think to that one?
Yeah, obviously, I think he'd gone, hadn't he, by the time we'd done the last podcast, but for some reason, we'd just not covered it. But yeah, it was, I think it was expected to a point, because obviously he had been frozen out, hadn't he? I mean, completely disappeared, not in the squad. And, you know, in a way, it was a shame. I think he's a player who always kind of gave 110%. I think wherever he played, and he played in a number of positions, really, and we still really don't know his best one. You know, whether it was right back, whether it was centre back, or whether when he played the defensive midfield role, whether that was, you know, he had a couple of good games in there under Hill. I think that was maybe his downfall, in a way, that no one was really sure what his best position was. It'd be interesting to see how Aldershot utilise him. But I do think, as you said there, you know, from what I can tell, he was a big character down there in the dressing room. And I think, you know, he's obviously well liked by the staff, and he was obviously well liked by the players. And, you know, I'd had a couple of conversations with him over the past year or two, and he was always really approachable. And I think, as you say there, he was real top guy, really. So I'm pleased for him that he's got the move, because I do think, you know, he deserves to be playing football somewhere. And it's a good move for him, really. Okay, it's only till the end of the season, but it gives him a chance to earn a deal somewhere else. You know, it's a fresh start for him, which is what I think he probably needed, because I just think his career was maybe stagnating a little bit here. And I think, yeah, for all parties, I think he wasn't going to play. And, you know, for him in particular, I think it was the best move to go out and get some games. And, you know, wish him well, because he was one of the few that, especially last season, you could tell it meant a lot to him. And you could tell after some of these games where we'd lost, you know, he was hurting. And he'd said the same to me, you know, he'd reached out a couple of occasions. And, you know, he was very honest and very genuine. So, you know, good luck to him, and hopefully he gets a move, you know, on the back of that, he gets a contract in the summer. And you know, I think he's more than capable at this level. It's just where he plays, he needs to find a position and make it his own, I think.
Yeah, and obviously best of luck to him. And we do have a very small piece of news, just to kind of finish that roundup with, that you may well have seen on Twitter, but a long-awaited In Conversation special we announced earlier this week, on Monday actually, and you know, kind of probably one of my favourite Scunthorpe United players of the past, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, or maybe indeed one of my favourite ever, really. And that would come as no surprise to you guys. It's Kevin Van Veen, and he's going to be coming on the podcast to chat to us about, obviously, his time at Scunthorpe United. So just to let you guys know, if you don't already, actually, I'm sure you already do, that is happening, and we will be recording that in the next few days. So one to look forward to. And I know you're looking forward to it as well, Matt.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, I mean, we've tried to do this before, haven't we? We've been trying to arrange it for a long time, and for whatever reason, we've just not managed to do it. But we've spoken to him, you know, on a couple of occasions, and he's really up for it. So yeah, going to be a good one, I think.
Brilliant. I think that probably just a good place to finish is some questions. Obviously, we have some questions yesterday for the podcast. There's a couple of good ones come in. I think we've addressed a couple, as we kind of always do. So George has asked if would we have stayed up with Nelson still in charge. He says he thinks Dean's subs leave a lot to be desired, and certainly tactically has been found out at times. Yeah, this is quite a kind of difficult one, really, isn't it? You can't really tell, but I think that a lot of fans were saying when Dean came in, you know, and obviously Nelson lost his kind of interim job as the head coach, I think we were like, you know, do we really need to do it? Because we were kind of seeing an upturn in form, and kind of performances were kind of okay. And I think, obviously, you know, Nelson was working without any kind of investment at all, because we were under the transfer embargo. And then obviously Dean's come in, and he's basically had sort of 13 people come through the door. So, you know, the question is, would we have stayed up with Nelson in charge? And it's really difficult to say, isn't it? I think that, you know, there was a chance. And you know, I think maybe with even like with five or six players coming into with kind of Nelson at the helm and kind of the direction that we were going at that time, we may have had a good chance to kind of stay up. But I'm not really convinced either way.
No, you know, I listened to Jimmy. I don't know if it was last week, and he was talking about sort of the form since he's been in and how it's improved. But if you compare the two, they both average 1 point a game, which is, you know, it's relegation form, isn't it? Or it's at least, what would it get you, 46 points, relegation zone, or maybe just out, depending on the season. You know, sometimes you'd be down, sometimes you might just stay up with that many points. So, you know, there's very little difference between the two. Well, there's no difference between the two in terms of points per game from what we've seen so far. The difference is Dean has had an open checkbook. Whether he signed all those players and whether they were all his own choices, again, probably not, given some of the comments he's made about the players that have left. You know, the lad from Forest, Fewster, he obviously wasn't having him at all, was he? So
that was the guy with the they were raised some cash for his shirt sponsor, didn't they?
Yeah, that was one. Yeah, I think he played about 10 minutes. No, he did play a bit more. I think he played the one game before he left. He did play the home game. Was it Eastleigh, I believe? One of that, obviously, it didn't work out. But again, Dean kind of some of the signings after that, you know, that after that initial batch, he was kind of saying, this is the mould of player I'd like. And some of those players in that initial batch of signings then disappeared. I'm thinking Jerry and Fewster. So, you know, we can, again, we're just speculating, but potentially not all his own signings. So yeah, it's difficult, but he has had a lot of investment in the team. He's had a lot of players through the door. He's been backed, and that's one thing, as you said. I think you summed up with Hilton, with Swan in charge, we were going down 100%. I think that's pretty clear. With no more players coming through the door under the transfer embargo, it's likely, you know, we 100% we would have gone down, because that's just, you know, it's pretty obvious. And we may not have had a club. So Hilton came in. You've got to say he's done that. He gave us a chance of staying up, signed some players. We've had time really as well. I think we've been kind of getting closer to the pack, and then we've obviously blown it again. So yeah, he's kind of backed Dean more than any of the previous managers, I would say. The last few managers have been backed. And at the moment, we're no better off for it. So yeah, I do agree with George. I think some of his sort of game management and subs have been questionable, to be honest. And yeah, time will tell if he's any good. But yeah, I'm not convinced at the moment. I think he's won quite a few fans over with, you know, some of the things he's been saying about the fan base and things like that. But unfortunately, you know, that'll only kind of wash for so long if the results don't pick up on the pitch. And yeah, for me, the manner of the draw on Tuesday night, yeah, I'm just not sure on him, to be honest. But you know, I know some fans are willing to give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt and see what he can do over a longer period. But at the moment, comparing the two records, I think there's very little between the two. And I think, in truth, would Nelson have done any better? I don't know. We can't say, can we, for sure. But I would have liked to see him given the chance, because I think he did deserve it with no budget, no staff helping him. You know, I think he did a good job in the circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of agree. Incredibly difficult situation for him, but he still managed to churn out some good performances, some good results. Andy said we've kind of addressed this, but I just thought it important just to kind of include this as well. Andy Ripley said, "Is the actual future of the club at risk again now? DH seems very twitchy. Will he actually go through with the final purchase required or walk away? Should we be concerned?" We have addressed it, and obviously we are slightly concerned. But you know, everything he said, Hilton, that he's going to do so far. He's invested in the squad. He's obviously settled the bill with HMRC and things like that. So you know, on face value, he's kind of lived up to those promises, and he did say that obviously it will be paid by the 24th. So again, we have to wait and see if that's the case. Dan said, "Is Jimmy Dean the right man for next season?" A good question. And I think that honestly, I thought he was brought in with the idea that it was a very good chance that we would go down. And obviously, Jimmy was kind of managing Peterborough Sports, the National League, North, obviously. So I think that obviously Hilton's thought, you know, he's got a good record. And I think Peterborough Sports were kind of mid-table when Jimmy came in. So again, I think it was a consolidation season for them, really, but I guess pretty solid. So he's obviously thought, you know, bringing him in would be the right. It kind of covers both bases, kind of an up-and-coming manager, but also he's kind of operating at that level that we well could be operating at next season. So it was kind of a relatively safe bet there. Is he the right man for next season? I don't know. You know, look, he's made some very, very questionable tactical decisions that we're kind of aware of. Some of the signings be questionable. Again, we don't know how many were actually Jimmy's signings or how many were club signings. You know, a little bit concerned, but I still think that you know, he's not he will be here next season. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to get kicked out. Hilton won't get rid of him, especially not with the amount of managers that obviously Swan sacked. He won't want to kind of fall into that category. So he will give him plenty of time to do his thing. Obviously, he's going to get a full summer, and then obviously it'll be judged on what he does at the start of next season, you know, and really and how do we judge that? Maybe 10 games in and see where we are next season, and as I said, probably at regional football level. So you know, if we're doing well, then obviously he's the right man for the job. But I still think that it was a good appointment, in my opinion, even though it's not really worked in this at this level, unfortunately. What do you think about it, Matt?
Yeah, I'm yet to be convinced by him, to be honest, but not really got much more to add. I think his record at the lower leagues was really good when he came in. He's had a few decent results at home, but ultimately, you know, that they haven't been good enough to get us out of the mess we were in. It wasn't going to turn around overnight, and I think he has been overloaded with players as well. I think that's, you know, he's had a lot to deal with in that regard. But yeah, the jury's still out, and I'm not convinced on him, to be honest. But you know, at National League North, he's obviously only had really half a season at that level as well, given it was Peterborough's first season, but it looks like they've done okay. You know, they're going to finish mid-table, so probably a respectable finish for them. So yeah, time will tell, but at the moment, not convinced.
Well, I think that pretty much rounds up all the questions we've got, and we've covered pretty much all of them. So thanks for sending them in, and obviously, don't forget that Kev's coming up very, very shortly. So keep your eye open for that. I'm sure it'll be worth the wait, and it has been quite a long wait. Definitely something to look forward to as a Scunthorpe United fan, where it's been a bit of a shit show for the past few years. But anyway, thanks for listening to this one, and I'm sure Brad will be back next time. Cheers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.